Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is one of your hosts, Apostle Armstrong, and I am driving, so I cannot tell if my co-hosts are on yet. If you are on, good evening.
Good evening to you, Apostle.
Is that the Apostle of Love?
Yes, Apostle Miller.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to turn my phone up a little bit. All right. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I just could hear you before. I had the volume down. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that was a good message. That you gave us on Wednesday night at our prayer time, that focus, you focus on the body of Christ. And that's one thing that stuck with me. And I was listening to the news, and what came to me was that we who profess to be believers are going to have to step up to the plate and become proactive on the word. And we're going to have to put the word to work in our lives and in the lives of this nation. As I was listening, and Micah chapter 6 verse 8 kept coming to me, and it says that God only asks three things of us: is be just, not just in one thing but in everything, and then we're supposed to show mercy, and then we should be humble. And as I lined that up with what I was seeing and hearing, we who are believers, we need to be praying more like what you mentioned on Wednesday night, that, we pray for our leaders. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 5, it says we pray for all people, including the leaders, so that we may have, I'm paraphrasing it, so that we may be able to live a quiet, peaceable, godly, reverent life. As opposed to what we are doing now, we are crying and complaining about what's going on and not praying. Or when we do pray, we are not praying the prayer of faith. And it is like you were saying, that if those persons that are in these offices are not doing things according to the word of God, then God, please remove them and place somebody in those positions that will.
Amen.
And I think that if we were praying along those lines, and that's praying the word of God, things would be different, as opposed to sitting around complaining and grumbling. And that reminded me of what the Israelites was doing whenever he delivered them from slavery in Egypt. They got out there and started grumbling and mumbling, and here they have forgotten what he had done for them.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things is that if we can get people who profess to be believers and those who are not, we can get them to read the word and become doers of the word, then they will be able to find a peace that be able to live without getting stressed out and fearful. And that's what I walked away with today and yesterday, even in the midst of the whole grieving process. At times, the enemy was attacking because I was looking at things positive, and it's something. And that's when I began to pray the prayer of faith, and I began to speak it, that by complete faith, believing that Jesus was his beloved son, and that he gave him the word that he gave the disciples. And if we go back to John 17, we see that was what Jesus said that it took place. So I hope that the car and the roaring noise is not creating confusion or the extra noise. So that's what
no,
I want
sir,
us
not
to...
not making any noise.
All right. Well, that's what I want us to have a discussion about. In terms of application, the application of the Word of God to our everyday situations and circumstances.
Amen.
Now, I'm not sure. Would you like to expand on the discussion, not discussion, the devotion that you had when you introduced the prayer on Wednesday night? As to what the church,
sure, we can,
or what we should be
go,
getting from the church.
I mean, we can go even more Hebrews. I've been studying the book of Hebrews, but we can go back to Matthew, the 14th chapter. As we stated in Matthew, the 14th chapter, when Jesus started walking on the water, and Peter saw him, Peter asked himself, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. Well, first of all, they thought it was a spirit, and they were sincere. And Jesus told them to be of good cheer, if I be not afraid. Because they didn't know who he was. But I thank God, and that's why I said that we can compare it to what we're dealing with now. I believe the Lord don't want us to be afraid. Even in spite of what's happening in the White House, what's happening in our surroundings, we as born-again believers, we don't have to fear. Well, somebody would say, why we don't have to fear? Because we need to know that God is. What do we need to be to God? God is whatever we need him to be. Because Jesus,
yes,
in Jesus' atonement, when we look back at the cross and people know why he came, What was his purpose? What he accomplished? First of all, it was to restore man's relationship, or better yet, restore man's spirit back to God. Because God is the spirit. Jesus said that God is the spirit, and we that worship him, we must worship him in spirit and truth. Well, when Adam sinned, Adam separated his spirit from God. He shut off the communication. And the way God communicates with us is through a spirit, because he is a spirit. And the real world is the spirit world. So in Matthew, the 14th chapter, as I'm going back and looking at it now, the Lord bringing this to me, he told us, he said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. We should be not afraid because God done promised some things. Here's some things that are going to happen on this earth, regardless of whether we pray fast or not. And even and when you're in the midst of those things taking place, we as born-again believers, we in the ark of safety. But we got to know, like the Bible tells us in Matthew 20, when certain things start happening on the earth, we can look up and know that Jesus is, that the time is drawing near for him. But we don't have to be afraid, you see. Fear wanna, the enemy wants us to believe God is not worthy of our honor. He's not worthy of our praise. And God ain't doing this and God ain't doing that. Well, if you not reading your word, if I'm reading the Bible going to encourage me. When I read the Bible, it encourages me. Even when we know what gonna happen, cause we need to know that the born again believer was just like in Noah day. You know, we in the office, you know, but you can't keep looking at what's happening, the negative thing that's happening on the earth, and meditating on it, because as you look at it and meditate on it, and it's contrary to what God's word says, you're going to open yourself up for fear. I learned that.
That's
you
right.
You can't just meditate on the negative, because the negative causes you to forget what God done said. It'll cause you to cast away your confidence. And so when Jesus told him to be not afraid, and then when Peter recognized that it was Jesus through his voice, he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And when Jesus told him to come, now what really, when you look at, when Jesus told him to come, the water were already boisterous and the wind was in the water. And I'm sure it would make a lot of noise. Because if you ever been to the beach and walk on the beach at night and you can hear the roaring in the water, the wind in the water. But when he told him to come, it was going on. It wasn't a quiet night, a smooth, but the wind was bolstering. The water was bolstering. But Jesus, when Peter recognized it with Jesus and Jesus told him to come, Peter had the faith to step out that boat and trust what Jesus said.
Church.
And we got during
That's
the
right.
time when everything is going contrary to God, we are born again believers. We gonna have to trust in the Lord. Not only just believe that God exists, but we just gonna have to trust him. See, that's like you said, Apostle, that's what happened in the children of Israel. You know, instead of them believing what God was saying through Moses to tell them to do, no, they going to be afraid of the giant, because the giants in stature were bigger than them. Well, when we look at life situations, we can't allow it to have us to think that it's bigger than our Creator, bigger than the
That's
one
right.
that created all of us. And just what's happening. Fear comes when you don't lose hope, when you don't know who to trust. But when we know that God is still there, and we got to go back, because sometimes we forget. Sometimes the children of Israel, they had not forgot all that God had did in bringing them out of Egypt. Well, I never been to Egypt, but God don't want me to forget how he saved me, and how he have continued to deliver me from a lot of adversity, a lot of trials and tribulations, the time of lack, the time of poverty, the time of hurt, the time of false accusations, the time of sickness. When he don't want us to forget that, because that ought to motivate us and encourage us. If he did it yesterday, if he did it one time, he'll do it again. So in this hour and time, when things going contrary to everything, I'm finding out, just like it said in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, when Paul was saying, put on, finally, my brothers, he said, be strong in the Lord and the power which might, put on the whole armor of God. Oh, and it tells you, we ain't wrestling with flesh and blood. But he tells us in the evil days, when evil days here, like some of the things we experience, we have to stand with our learned girl about with truth, not retreating, a yielding to it, but standing on what God's word say. And this is what the author even said in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter. He said, we need to pray earnestly to the things that we hear, lest at any time we let them slip. And like I said, we go. A lot of people go to church. And if they're hearing the message of faith, they need to hold fast to that message when trials and tribulations, when affliction, when persecution, and all these things arise. That's the time we need to really embrace the word like never before. And just hold fast to it. Meditate on what God's word says. You know, great is he that's in us than he that's in the world. You know, Jesus will overcome everything. Satan is defeated. See, these are some of the things that we have to meditate on. Because the Bible says, as a man think in his heart, so is he.
So is
he. If we think that we're going to fail, we're going to fail. If we think we don't know what to do, we ain't going to know what to do. If we think God ain't helping us, well, that's what it's going to be. Because that's the spirit of the law. The law of confession. You have what you say. Not what you pray.
Yep.
We can only have what we pray. And if we continue after we done pray, we got to continue to confess the answer to the prayer. And then, too, again, we got to keep our mind renewed in the word. Because the enemy always talking our mind. Because he know if he get our mind, he can shed the whole our whole body to come under. So he always shooting dark in our mind. Dark. You know, thoughts of doubt, unbelief, and fear. And Paul said we have to cast down these imaginations and these thoughts, that exhorting themselves above the knowledge of God. And I'm finding out a lot of faith is not taking authority over those thoughts, those negative thoughts, those thoughts of fear. We have to take authority over those thoughts, because that's how the enemy works. Well, God speaks to us through thoughts as well. But the enemy put these negative thoughts. You know, he'll put these thoughts of anxiety. He'll put, like I said, he'll put stress, thoughts of confusion. And we have to take authority over that. And Paul told the Corinthians, he said, you got to cast down these imaginations and these thoughts that adorn yourself above the knowledge of God. Really, we got to know how to do spiritual warfare. That's what it just added to. We got to know how to do spiritual warfare. We got to know what to do with these thoughts. And like I said, we're in Matthew, the 14th chapter, Peter, reckoned up when he knew it was the voice of Jesus, I believe at that moment the fear left him when he heard Jesus told him not to be afraid. And I believe the Lord is saying that to all of us now. Don't be afraid of what you see happening on this earth. If it's anything, draw nigh to me. The Bible said we draw nigh to God. God will draw nigh to us. This is the hour in the time that we need to draw closer to God. Well, prophet, how we do that? We do about reading his word, meditating on his word, confessing his word, decreeing and declaring what God's word say about the situation. Don't let the situation dictate to us. Our circumstances can only control us if we allow it by not saying anything. But I found out, as a born-again believer, and when I studied the four gospels,
Jesus always opened his mouth and he spoke. He said something. He just didn't say idle. One of the scriptures said, idle mind is the devil workshop. We can't just stand by and be idle. We can speak. Now, Father, whenever I hear evil thing, if the Holy Spirit speak against it. You know, when I hear somebody speaking about certain things in my family, the Holy Spirit says, speak against it, bind it, and Matthew 18 tells us that. Whatever we bind on this earth, whatever we forbid on this earth, is already bind and forbidden in heaven. Believers, we need to know that we have the authority. We have the authority. But the enemy wants us to believe that we are hopeless and helpless people. We are not hopeless and helpless at all. The Bible says, as Jesus was, so are we. As Jesus walked on this earth with authority, with dominion. We are born again believers with Jesus on the inside of us. In the book of Ephesians, it tells us Christ is in us and we in Christ. The greater one is in us. And we got to stand. And I believe this one, in Matthew 14, it let me know. And the more I meditate on that, the Lord said the spirit of detraction. There's a lot of spirits of detraction on this earth. And it's trying to get up as born again believers, even as Daniel said. The enemy trying to wear out the saints. But listen, the greater one is in us. He trying to torment us, harass us in our mind, and what we see. But we need to torment him with the name of Jesus, in the blood of the Lamb. We need to torment him with the word of God. No, it is written, Satan. We need to do what Jesus did when he was being tempted in the wilderness of the devil. Jesus said what was written. He could have gotten an agreement, but he didn't do it. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he had to pray, when his flesh began to get weak, we could tell it because by what he said. He know he came to die. But when his first flesh started getting weak, he said, if it be thy will. But he kept praying in the hour of temptation. And the Bible said, I think it's in Luke, it said the angels came and they strengthened Jesus. And I'm telling you, this ain't the hour to retreat, but this is the hour in time based upon the thing that's contrary to what God said. We as born again believer got to stand up and say what God said about the situation. Father, you told me to let not my heart be troubled. You told me to believe in Jesus, to believe in God, but also believe in him. You told me to cast all my cares upon you, God. You told me to bless you at all times. You told me to forget not all of your benefits. These are some of the things we need to let come out of our mouth. If when we let it come out of our mouth, if the Bible said he has a two-edged sword, one of our armor in Ephesians 6 chapter, it tells us the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. And y'all, we got to use those weapons. But if we sitting around like the children of Israel did, mumming and complaining, we said, God, you can, but God is not doing it. That's what mumming complaining really is. It said, yeah, God exists. The children of Israel believed he exists. They believed God gave them the promised land, but they wouldn't trust him to go into the promised land. They didn't want to do it the way God told them to do. Go ahead, Apostle.
You're absolutely right. And in terms of the word, when you know the word, when you walk in by the word, not by sight, the word will come to you even before situations and circumstances that you're going to have to deal with. Just like what came to me before my wife's passing was that when you've done all you can do, stand. Mm-hmm. I mean, that came to me just like we're talking now. And, you know, you don't really think about it until, I didn't really think about it until today, to on the radio, to this broadcast. He told me to, when you've done all you can do, stand. Because he knew once you've done all you can do, he going to do the rest. And that's exactly what he did. Because whenever my thing was, as I was looking at my wife, and that was really, really getting to me. because there was nothing I could do. And when we got to that point, God took over. And he took her home. And so, you know, you rejoice in the fact that they are not suffering anymore, but there's still a void there. And the enemy will try to get you to dwell on the void as opposed to dwelling on the blessing.
Come on now.
And so the blessing is the fact that she had made her peace with the Creator and said she was tired. And she did not want to be in a facility. She wanted to be at home. And whenever I look at it now, she was able to walk with a walker when we got her from the facility. When we brought her home, within a day, she couldn't walk. She was at rest. She was at peace because she was where she wanted to be. And, you know, I guess whenever you sit and you look back and you can see the negative, you could see that as negative. Why God take her? Why this? Why that? Why? But when you know the word and you recognize the word when you hear it, that's whenever you're walking in peace, in complete peace. That's when your faith kicks in. And that's what we are saying to our listeners today. Don't be focusing on what you see. Because if I would have kept focusing on what I saw, my thing would have been, I want her to stay here. But why want her to stay here whenever she was suffering, would have been suffering? She wasn't eating. She wasn't drinking. She had made a decision, and what I would have been doing was going against her decision that she had made.
Amen. Mm-hmm. You know, so, Apostle, that was the way it was with my baby brother last August. He had having a lot of meniscal. Make a long story short, and influenced us till the day did about two or three different type of surgery on his head. And if I would have focused on how he died or how he left him, but the Lord told me, and it's appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment. And then the Lord told me, he said, you don't know what conversation me and Willie having. A lot of
times
they like that. And so we don't know what they saying to the Lord. God going to honor their will. They request.
Right.
And see, I don't know what I know what I was praying, but I don't know what my brother was saying to the Lord. But then I looked at God. I looked at my brother had been with me for 62 years. And he was a sweet baby brother. And I began to just thank God for the time that I had with him and how God, he changed. He accepted Jesus. So, like you, so when grief tried to come and would try to overwhelm me and the enemy tried to torment me the way he left, I said, no, you're not. You see, there's many ways people leave here. But they have to go through that door to get to the other side. I mean, that's how God encouraged me, and I wouldn't let grief overwhelm me. He would try to show me pictures of how my brother would land up in ICU with you know, with them cut. They had not cut him in his head and all of that. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that because I had to resist that spirit of grief because the enemy was trying to torment me, trying to get me to question God. I said, I ain't doing it. I won't do that, you know, because I couldn't meditate on what I saw because it hurt. It was very painful.
Yes. And do we have the apostle of love? Is she here with us yet?
Hello, I'm just sitting and eating and just enjoying the both of you so much. Good evening, good evening, good evening.
Good evening.
I've been partying with my
graduate.
But you all are doing an amazing job. Just keep going.
Well, for some reason, God put this in my spirit, this topic tonight. And I know someone who's listening is finding some peace and is finding some order in their lives as they see it. And some people are no longer allowing what they see with their naked eyes. They have begun to see things through the spiritual eyes. And that in itself is where the peace comes in. And so that's why I don't question whenever a topic come or idea come or the Holy Spirit reveals something to us that we address. And if we were not addressing it, that's whenever we would have to face the consequences. Because one thing this week that he placed in my spirit was, what do you think would be happening if you were not praying? We talking about how bad things are now.
Come on.
What do you think would happen if you're not praying? If we were not praying and inviting God into the midst, because God is not going to do anything until we invited him in.
That's right.
And once we invite him in, then that gives him the permission to do what his will is all about.
Amen.
And it took me a while to get to that point. You know, you sit back, I don't know why God is allowing this to happen. I don't know why this so-and-so. I don't know. Well, he's allowing it to happen because he said the earth is for the children of men.
Mm-hmm.
We are the children. The earth is
mm-hmm.
ours. So why would he want to give it to us? Why is he going to come back and intervene and do things? He gave it to us, and he gave us free will. So, excuse me. So as we deal with things, we have to begin to look at things through our spiritual eyes and begin to invite God to come into these people's hearts, not their mind, into their heart, because what's in your heart is what comes out of your mouth. And that's the other thing I was observing and listening, and the stuff that's coming out of these people's mouths today, it is ridiculous. And a lot of them profess to be believers. So now I could sit back and say, I don't know, why do people act like that? Oh, the devil made them do it. Well, God gave us the earth and told us to take dominion over it. So why are we allowing the enemy to usurp our birthright?
Come on, man.
It's on. And we're going to have to begin to stand up. See, I look at our ancestors. And for those who are listening, we are in America, and we are descendants of slaves. And when you look at them and their faith and their ability to withstand all that they went through, and now I look at us, there's nothing. As they would say, that our ancestors would say, you're on a gravy train. But yet, we don't really understand what blessing that we have. So, you know, that's my challenge to people, wherever you are on the face of this earth, that Creator gave you the authority. He delegated you the authority over the earth. and the fullness thereof.
Mm-hmm.
And he's holding us accountable. Holding us accountable for allowing the enemy. And Jesus made it clear that, what? He destroyed the works of the devil. And why are we talking about the devil made me do it? Oh, the devil did. Uh-uh. If Jesus destroyed the works of the devil, who works are those? And we're going to have to begin to call things as we see them spiritually. So, I have had the opportunity in the last several weeks to really reflect on what is and who God is and what God is holding us accountable for. All right, Apostle of Love, I know your ears are burning, so you want to speak now.
Oh, praise the Lord. I've so enjoyed just listening to you and Apostle Miller, and I just totally 100% agree with the both of you. A lot of what we're saying is the devil is simply untrained flesh. When we don't get in the Word of God, all we got left is our senses. And so
so many
of God's people are not spending any time in the Word. And so they go by is what they see, and with, to the natural eye, it looks hopeless. It looks like, you know, it's just going from bad to worse. And in the natural world, it is. But just like you keep saying, we have authority to change that. We can, first of all, change it for ourselves. And like you just kept repeatedly saying, looking through the eye of the Spirit. See, as long as you stay in the dust, all you're going to see is what's in the dust. That's why God told us to come up where we're sitting in heavenly places in Christ. He has raised us above the situations and the problem. And I heard this statement, and it so blessed me. And this person said, you really don't have a fear problem. You got a love problem. You doubt the love of God. He said, it's not fear. He said, because the Bible says that love casted out fear. Love casts perfect love of God casted out fear. So it says you really don't have a fear problem. You have a love problem. You don't trust God to do. Ooh, that resounded so with me. You don't really trust God to take care of you. You don't trust God to do what he said it would do. So, you know, it's not really a fear. You're afraid because you don't trust God. You don't trust his love. You don't trust his ability. And it was like you said, when you've had moments of reflection, and just looking back, you know, just looking back at the many ways that he has been there for us. Like Prophet Miller was also saying, you know, how he has delivered us. When we had no strength of our own, he was our strength. He was our peace. Mm-hmm. Our hearts were. He truly is the healer of the brokenhearted. He really is our strength. And if we don't look to him, see, whatever you look at, that's what you're going to become. So we're not looking at the world. We're not in the realm of the spirit. So all we have left is the sense realm. And so really what we're saying, because the enemy's been defeated, it's almost like we don't believe that. Say, no, the enemy is defeated. And when your enemy is defeated, he has no more power and authority over you. Only thing he got is a mouth. And he has no power to back it. And it says fear is a spirit. That's false evidence appearing real. It's not real. He's just trying to make you. It's an illusion. And that's why it works so on the soul. It works on the mind. He tries to get into your emotions, trying to just weary you. Like Prophet said, just trying to wear out the saints. And sad to say, a lot of us are assisting him. Because our strength comes from the word. Our strength comes from our time and our fellowship with God. And like I've used this analogy a lot of times, I don't care. You could buy the most expensive car on the face of the earth. I mean, it can literally drive itself. But that car requires fuel. And if you keep passing every service station and you never stop, somewhere along the line, that car is going to stop on the side of the road. Not because there's anything wrong with the car, the way it was made, the way it was designed, the way it was built. It's because you didn't put in it what it needed to keep it going. So a lot of us are not putting the word in us. We don't even open our Bibles during the week. We don't pray. We don't get along with God. We're so busy doing that we don't have any time to be. Be still in his presence. Listen to his voice. That's where we get our direction. That's where we get our strength. And so when we don't do that, all that's left is our senses. And all our senses produce is what our natural eyes see. And that's fear, doubt, unbelief. So we look to the word. The Bible says, look to the hills on which cometh your help. All our senses, it comes from the Lord. And so when you know you feel yourself getting weak, just like when you look at your gas can. I looked at mine today. I didn't stop, but I needed to. When it get down to them last two dots, I'm ready to fill it up again. My son said, Mom, you can go on this. I said, I'm not comfortable there. Full glory. I'm not comfortable with just Sunday morning. I'm not comfortable with just, I need him every day. I need to hear his voice. I need to sense his presence. I need to spend time with him every day to keep myself built up and to keep myself encouraged. Because just like you all, you know, we're like all the people that's listening to us. We've been hurt. We've had people to transition and go home. We've dealt with sickness and disease in our bodies. We've dealt with things that have come against our finances. We've had the enemy war against our children. Against our family. So we're not telling anybody that we don't realize what that is, but oh my goodness, we know where to run to for help. And a lot of people don't know. And so they're running to other things to try to fear. But that void in us, is the only thing that will fill it is the Word of God and the precious Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus. I don't care how much other stuff you try to put in it. It will not feel that void because that place is for him. So if we would just really start spending time in the Lord, with the Lord, keeping our eyes in the Word, and fill up. When you get a half a tank, you need to, you know when you start sputtering. You know when you, like you said, your mouth will let you know whether you're in faith or not, whether you're sputtering or not. God wants us to be so full of the Word. And no matter what comes against us, our testimony does not change. Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm on prophet. I know you got something. I hear them wheels.
No, I mean, I'm in agreement. I'm in agreement with there too again. At the abundance of the heart, as you stated, Bob said, the abundance of the heart, the mouth would speak. And that's why Jesus in Dominica, he said, you praise me with your lips, but your heart is far from you. I found out when pressure hit or when you going through anything, if we observe what coming out our mouth, as you stated, it'll locate our faith. It'll let you know where our faith at, you know, where our confidence in. And, you know, like I said, our words have everything to do with the God intervening and the manifestation of God's word or his presence. Our words have everything. I didn't realize that for a long time, but when the Holy Spirit brought about the reality to me about my words, he let me know that the Bible said, by your word, you are justified, and by your word, you are condemned. If I had a word man say, he going to give an account. And I remember one of the first thing I heard you, Apostle McIntyre, say in healing school, you say, with your mouth, you can turn it around. Well, when we put the word of God in our mouth and speak the word of God, imply the word to our situation, it can turn our circumstances around. The word of God have the power, the authority, and the ability. that change anything. Now, when it come down, and I remember Dwayne Norman said this here, a lot of times we expect, and I used to be like that, we expect God to do everything God said to come suddenly and immediately and automatically. It don't work that way. We got to know how to wait on the Lord. But we can wait on God and be of good courage if we truly believe and have faith and confidence in what he done said in his word.
Right.
But sometimes when we got to wait on God, that's when the enemy, you know the first day, God. Maybe the first 4 or 5 days. But as the enemy increased the pressure, they're trying to make your faith work patient. But there too, again, he said, but you need to know. You can rejoice if you fully persuaded that what God said about your situation is so. Well, the way we come fully persuaded, we have to be consistent in saying what God's word said about the situation. See, I didn't know that for years. You know, I thought if I cried long enough, God would change things. God said, no, I'm touched with that. But only faith moved me. And see, these are spiritual laws and principles that some saints don't have no idea how much power that they have in their words. You know, it ain't just speaking positive. You know, you can speak positive, but you got to, when it comes down to the spirit, you got to have faith and confidence in the one that said it, who is God, what he said. He the one said that my words have power. He the one said, as a man thinking his heart, so is he. He the one said, out the abundance of my heart, my mouth speak. He the one said that he gave me the same faith that he had when he said, let there be. The same faith that Jesus walked in. My ancestors, he the one said that. So my faith is not in my performance, but my faith is in what God said. And I act upon it. But like I said, I don't believe a lot of saints have no idea the power of their words or what he can do.
Yes.
I did for years. I'm being honest. I've been for years. There's something to watch over my mouth, keep the doors of my lips. Don't let me say something that would grieve you. I didn't know my words had enough authority and the ability to change my situation. I didn't know that. Because I would use that to come up, say it. Just say it. But when I came into the knowledge and the understanding that my words had power, that changed. Because he began to show me, he said, I want to let you see how much of faith and confidence you had in your prayer. Then I started noticing after I began to pray, some of the things I was saying, I was speaking against everything I prayed about. He said, you're being when you pray. I said, what? He said, I ain't never told you you have what you pray. I said, you have what you say. So there too again, I agree with you. A lot of saints in my prayer tonight, God, open up the saints' eyes. I pray as Paul prayed. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Father glory may give unto them the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know what is to open their heart, that they would know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is on the inside of them. And I'm saying, unto our spiritual eyes come open, you will continue to allow what we see in the natural to control.
That's right.
Now, do we have anyone that listened that would like to make a comment at this time on anything that you heard thus far? All right. Because this is a two-way now. We're just not here just to talk at you. We want to talk with you. Well, one thing that I can say is that the word, when you read it, not what I mean when I say when you read it, a lot of people, they don't take time to read the word. They depend on somebody else to tell you what it is, what the word is saying. And sometimes that's not what you need at that particular time in order for you to be able to deal with your situation or circumstances that you are facing. What happened is that person received something because at their point of need, that was what they needed. Now, you need to read the word for yourself, and then you can sit and share it, and because somebody else is out there is going through something that's similar to what you're going through. When you look at the word and you realize that this was written thousands of years ago, over 5,000 years ago. And whenever you look at that and you say, ain't a whole lot changed. Some of the situation that they were going through when the word was given to them is similar to what we're going through today.
Amen.
And if we just apply that word, but if we don't get into the word ourselves and deal with it, we cannot come into the truth. And maybe that's why a lot of us now who say we are believers, one of the reasons why we don't trust, we don't understand that that is the truth, that the word is the truth, and that we can put our trust in the word, is because we listen to what somebody else said to us. I know until I started reading it for myself, I found that some of the things that I was told or I heard didn't line up exactly with the word. But for that time that they received that, that was appropriate, might have been appropriate. But for where I found myself, that was not appropriate. And what I saw or what was given to me was slightly different from what I heard. And one thing I didn't do was condemn the people that that told me that, because they were not able to read the way that I'm able to read. They did not have all those resources that I have at my fingertips. Because I remember the Bible collected dust. And what I mean by that, they had this Bible that sat in the living room on the coffee table. Nobody opened it. It was so sacred to nobody open it. And, you know, you put the Bible under your pillow expecting something to come through and help you to deal with the situation or circumstances that you were dealing with. Maybe you need to open it. And when you open the Bible, if you have something that you were struggling with, 9 times out of 10, what will happen is you will open to a page with chapter and verse that dealt with whatever it is that you were struggling with. That's why I challenge people. Don't just take my word. Pick it up and read it for yourself. And if you find that something I said didn't line up with the word, you can always contact me and we'll have a conversation. Because where you are and where I am is two different places, and the Holy Spirit is revealing to us that which we need to get through that. Just like he told me, when you've done all you can do, stand. And I thought I understood what he was saying. at that time. But now in hindsight, I look back, and what he was doing was preparing me for the transition to be able to stand there by my wife's bed and watch her take her last breath. And, you know, I was able to do that, stand, because I realized I've done all I could do. And I'm just using me now, y'all. I'm not trying to project the image that I'm some self-righteous individual, because I'm not. I have flaws just like everybody else. Sometimes the enemy jumps on me, and I start down one path, want to respond, and then I think about what Jesus did. Jesus was out there. He was hungry. He'd been out there 40 days and 40 nights. And what did Jesus do? It is written. He just spoke the word to him, and he fled. But if you don't know the word, you can't speak the word. You're going to do like I used to do, even though back then, even though I still knew the word, but I still responded the way the world would respond to it. And that then solved the problem. But now, when I speak the word, I'm at peace. And whatever is happening around me, it subsides. And I'm not just one of them persons trying to tell you something so you keep listening to me. I ain't interested in that. All I want to do is give you the truth, and the truth will set you free from whatever it is you're dealing with. Because if you keep focusing on it, you will never get through it. Because you will always come up with, I can't do this. I can't do that. Oh, no, uh-uh. But take your mind off of what you see, and you see a door is there that's wide open. And all you have to do is walk through it. And the solution is right there. I don't know what time it's getting to be.
It's 7:27.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. And the last comments, because it's amazing. The day appears the time went by real fast. Maybe because I was driving part of it. All right, well, we will be back here with whatever the Holy Spirit gives. So we got 9 seconds. We'll be back here next week with whatever the Holy Spirit gives us, because the word, if you can't apply it, what good is it? And that's what the gospel message is all about, applying the word to your situation and circumstances. All right. Our time is 60 seconds left. Therefore, we say the peace of Shalom be upon each and every listener and their household. And we trust and pray that something that was said today, that the Holy Spirit use it to touch your heart and bring you a peace of Shalom, where you can live a quiet, peaceful, godly life. Thank you. Until next week, Shalom.
Shalom.